Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. So today I want to talk about what could be holding you back on your journey on healing from maternal narcissism and the wounds that you carry as a result of that. And I'm going to talk about it in terms of what is holding you back when you are feeling the need to ask for support and to get help, but then you find you struggle to go through with it fully for lots of different reasons that we're gonna go through with today. Now, if you are listening to this episode and at the very start you hear this and you go, well, I actually have no issues in asking for help, I've done that plenty of times, I'm fine with this, there still could be something within this episode for you, because maybe you don't do that in that specific aspect of your life, but there might be other areas where you want something but then you are retreating from it, and you don't know why that keeps on happening. So if you feel any of that, that can still work. This episode can still be very helpful. I am going to use the angle of asking for support specifically. But again, you can take what serves you and leave the rest. But you could have benefits listening to this if that happens to you in other situations in your life. So I want to start with asking you a couple of questions. Have you ever come upon a service that you know can truly support you, but a million reasons come up not to avail of it? And by million reasons, I mean like really valid excuses, or to cancel at the last minute. Have you ever made arrangements to get help and then pull back? If you were to book a call with me, so that's actually a really important question. And again, it's not just with me. If you were to book a session with someone else, or like book into a women's circle, that even if it's not my women's circle, any other one, it doesn't matter. I'm going to use this land, but like you apply to your own situation. So if you were to book a call with me, would you feel nervous, anxious, or even in a panic right before? And if you answer yes to any of these, I totally get it. And the reason I've decided to do this episode is because this happens all the time. You're really not alone in this. So if you're feeling any of that, I just want you to know you're not the only one. And there's nothing to feel bad about with yourself. It happens a lot. Very often women connect and reach out to then cancel at the last minute, or very often too, they disappear altogether, dropping all communications for no apparent reason. So, and I have to be honest with you, because I'm always honest here. When I've been working in this line of business for over 15 years now. And if I look back to when I started, okay, so go back to when I was a lot younger and a lot more opinionated too. I had a lot of undealt stuff that I still had to work with. Not that I don't have now, but I obviously had more back then. This thing of people canceling and disappearing used to frustrate me to no end. You might just be able to imagine that. So, but now, after exploring and understanding mother wounds from a different place, and after a lot of personal inner work to understand how I actually was doing the very same in other circumstances. And that's why I'm telling you, listen to this episode anyways, because you might be doing this, but in other areas of your life. I now truly get why this might happen. And I have a full heart of compassion and understanding. And that again comes because I know that I was doing that, and I still sometimes that mechanism, that pattern still comes up in my own life. So I really get it, and there's no judgment here. And this is also why I want to share the possible mechanism behind it with you all, just again to offer support if that is what's happening to you, because this is this can be a real, real obstacle for you to just move along in your journey and feel better in general about yourself, about your life. As always, take what serves and leave the rest, trusting that if it's not for you, it definitely is for someone else. My intention is to offer you deeper clarity and support. And if you're listening today and you're one of the women who in the past few months might have canceled a call with me last minute, or maybe hasn't shown up at all, or maybe you have got all communications but you're still listening to the podcast, please do not feel on the spot. I'm not doing this as a reaction to any of you because it's a bad thing that you've done. There's no judgment here. This is 100% to offer support. The intention behind this episode is not to make you feel judged and bad about yourself, but to shed some clarity of the mechanism that might be holding you back on your healing journey. And as a result, causing you to remain stuck in the loop of pain that you are experiencing. And I've been there. I would not cancel last minute, but I would fear that the person on the other side would judge me and see me for the bad person I was, that would make me not book a call at all. So I didn't get to the point where I would have to cancel last minute. I just wasn't booking at all. I wasn't reaching out. It was fear of rejection and judgment that held me back in moments when I actually needed the support the most. I felt I needed to be perfect and already sorted before I reached out to someone, that I had to be already, like, I already had to have all the answers before I actually got in front of someone that could then judge me, because that's how it was with my mother. If I didn't have all the answers when I had a conversation with her, she would destroy my everything, my confidence, I couldn't even speak. And even when I had the answers, she would still rip them apart, but it's like it was less intense in a way. So I learned that as a protective strategy. That's why, again, I really feel it, and I really feel this topic, and that's why I wanted to speak about it. The content of this episode might have been helpful, as I said, even in other situation, as in other circumstances in your life where this pattern of avoidance, that's what that is. It's a pattern of avoidance comes up. And we don't avoid things on purpose. It's not a conscious thing. It's a subconscious pattern. It happens in the background. We don't know that that's happening. And that's why there can't be any judgment there. It's not something we're aware of. When it happens, we don't know. So, for example, when you know a certain practice is good for you, but everything else seems to get in the way of you doing just that, you know, or when you want to create something, and again, a million justifiable reasons come up and you don't. So what follows comes from a place of love for you, never from judgment. And again, take what serves and leave the rest. And why am I repeating this time and times again at the beginning of this episode? Because some of the stuff I'm going to speak to might trigger you. And if that happens and you do get triggered, the invitation is to explore that, because there might be something there for you to feel into and to unpack. Okay, when we get triggered, that's usually what it is. It's not the other person attacking you or being bad or all of that, especially when the intention is really not that. But it's just something that might be there for you, and that's okay. I mean, I've been there plenty of times and I still am. So I want to speak to some possible underlying mechanisms that might be driving the need to pull back from something you know has the potential to truly help you and support you. How can this look like on a practical level? So you might reach out, you might book, maybe even commit to an appointment or to a course or whatever, but then things come up. And by things, I mean reasons that your system feels are absolutely valid for you to pull back. Okay, and here I'm going to list a few examples of the most common reasons. And here is when I'm saying triggers can happen, because again, from a conscious perspective, from the level of awareness that we have in the moment when this happens, these excuses are not excuses, are super valid things. And I'm not arguing against the validity of that. Okay, that's important. That's not an argument. The fact is that there is a subconscious drive that lets that kind of happen easier than if it wasn't there. And I'm going to get clearer on this when we go through all the different patterns, okay? So the few most common reasons are unexpected family commitments. You know, maybe the kids have a sudden need for something, like a new class or a new place you need to bring them, and or it's birthday parties coming up or whatever. And all of a sudden, that's a big reason to stop pursuing what you wanted to. A time clash with something else on your schedule. That can be you add to that list whatever that is for you. That can be your work schedule. It can be, again, your family schedule. It can be the like a lot of different things can come into that. A double booking. Oh, I didn't realize I also booked this other thing on the same day. I also booked the dentist on the same day. Or I also booked the car to go to the garage. Whatever it is on the same day. Or work has suddenly gotten more intense and demanding. That is something I do get quite often. It's like, oh, all of a sudden my work schedule has just gone mental and so I cannot fit this thing in anymore. Okay? Which again, it's not denying that that's actually happening. Okay? Your mental health, the diagnosis has kicked up. And again, I know that this is a triggering point. It is, because of course this is valid. I mean, what you are experiencing is real and you are experiencing it. And there are times where that is just the way it is. And there are times where there is the subconscious that wants to use that as a validating point for a fear that is underneath. Okay. So again, this might be something that is worth feeling into or not. I know I've had moments where, like, oh, you know, I'm depressed. So because I'm depressed, then this other thing doesn't really work for me. So I'm just not going to do it or commit to that. When then on reflection and gaining awareness and learning about myself later, I realized how that was actually holding me back. I was using that as some kind of an excuse. But obviously, when I was doing that, I was fully like experiencing that and fully believing that that was valid. So again, it's no judgment. That does happen. Another one can be feeling of sudden exhaustion. So suddenly it's too much. There's an overwhelm that leads you to feel incredibly exhausted and tired. You don't know why. You don't know where that came from, but you have to rest. And so that again becomes another reason to pull back. Any life unexpected event. Your mother suddenly needs you more than ever. That can happen. All of a sudden you need to be more present for her. And any other reason you can add to this list where you feel you don't have a choice. That's actually the thing. You feel like the power is taken away from you to actually do what you feel is something that would help you and support you, but you don't have that freedom or power because there's these other circumstances that are controlling your life and you have no choice. That's kind of like the underlying thing of all these reasons. As you can see, all of these, as I said, are more than valid reasons and no argument can be made about it. That's the point. No argument can be made about it. So again, I'm not here judging and arguing whether the reason that might emerge for you in a similar scenario is true or valid. I know you're not lying or pretending. I mean, I wasn't. I get it. And there are, of course, emergencies and unforeseen circumstances that come up. I mean, such is life. So there's no arguing on that either. Okay, I'm only bringing this to your attention if you are, like I was, among those that right now might be seeing a pattern of this happening. Okay, so if this is like a once-off circumstance that happens, that's just life. Okay, but if you are looking back now And just for the first time, maybe you're looking back and you're noticing, God, that happens quite often to me, doesn't it? Or maybe I'm just a very disorganized person, or maybe that's like you're none of those things. Like all those labels that you could be about to put on yourself, or maybe that you've used for yourself. I the invitation is really not to go with labels as much as you can. But it's a point of reflection. It's just a point of awareness. So if this happens to you very often, if you have noticed that it seems life is against you when you want to arrange something for yourself that might involve deep inner work, or by extension, anything that is truly meaningful to you that requires a certain level of vulnerability, because that's the thing that the subconscious fears. I'm gonna have to get real here, and I'm gonna have to get vulnerable. And when I attempted to do that in front of my mother, it was very hurtful. And it was really not an experience that I ever want to repeat again in front of another human being. That's what the subconscious is saying. And so it goes with, let's take this excuse, make it into a really big thing so that we don't have to do that. And again, none of this happens in your levels of awareness. This happens underneath a lot of layers. And the subconscious is very good at creating excuses and circumstances to keep us safe from finding ourselves in similar situations that in the past have caused us suffering and pain. I mean, it's wonderful. It is a very good protective strategy, one that has worked, that is at work behind the scenes. And again, meaning it happens, and we're not consciously aware that it does. And it has kept us safe in a lot of situations growing up. So it was like, again, it's really wise and amazing protective strategy when you're young and you have like a really difficult situation at home, or a mother that really is like hurtful to be around in so many ways. This way we keep our heart safe. So it makes sense. But then it gets to a point when that's just not helpful anymore, and starts holding you back. And that's why we are talking about this today. So let's explore it more closely. I want to talk about a few mechanisms that can be behind that. So the first aspect of this that I want to speak to is what is called the vulnerability hangover. Maybe you've heard this term before, or maybe it is the first time. So what is it? What's the vulnerability hangover? This is when you share something vulnerable and true to your heart. You might do that out of the impulse of the moment, like sharing your heart and experience in an email, or even book the first call and open up. Come on the first call and open up fully. But after that, you feel a wave of crushing anxiety, maybe shame, oh my, what have I just shared feeling. And this can go as far as projecting judgment towards the receiver of your share, attacking them before you risk to get hurt. Sort of like, but she just wasn't listening properly, or she just asked all the wrong questions, or whatever. Like that's it, just it, that defense can kick in, or not. It might just remain into the, oh my God, what if she judged me for every word I said? What if she thinks I'm crazy now just because I shared such and such? What is she thinking of me, or anything like that? So all of this causing you to pull back and not, maybe even not get in touch again, like just withdraw completely. And where does that come from? There are different reasons for this, and doesn't just happen to daughters of narcissistic mothers, but as daughters of narcissistic mothers, we were never safe. Let's say you opened up to your mother about something that happened to you that has made you suffer, clearly looking for support, and what you got instead was judgment and criticism. Or you were told what happened was your fault, or that it happened because you're a bad person, shaming you, and so on. Again, the list can go on. It makes total sense never to want to be open and vulnerable again, and not to experience, not to experience that hurt again. And it makes sense even to go on the attack and project onto the receiver before they can get judgmental of you like your mother did. All of this is at work in the subconscious. And that same part of us creates space for excuses to come up so that we don't have to be at risk again. Can you see how that works? Like, that makes a lot of sense when you're experiencing it. So when you have to cancel the next call or when you have to pull back from a commitment that was for you, that part of you feels justified to say, well, you know, things have come up that are out of my control. I can't do much about this. Whoops, I have to cancel. And again, emergencies happen. Such is life. But in my experience, I've noticed that when I'm truly wanting something to happen, I can stop at nothing by and large. You know, when conscious and subconscious are fine, when I don't feel there is a risk, when my subconscious doesn't feel there is a risk of me getting hurt, then it's fine. I mean, none of this happens. But other times, I get put off without putting up a fight. And when that happens, and that was something I really wanted, I have learned to sort of pause and ask myself why all of a sudden this is just not happening. What's underneath this? Is it really true? And sometimes it might actually be true that I don't want to do the thing because I don't think it serves me. So again, that's for you to know. That's an exploration that only you can do within yourself. You know, no one can do that for you from the outside. But very often I find that there is a subconscious fear that is holding me back and that is making excuses for me to not go through with it. Like when I wanted to start this podcast, as I mentioned before, it took me 6 months from the first thought, from the first voiced thought that I could do this to the actual first episode being published, and the amount of excuses. And that was just fear, really. There was a lot of fear, anxiety, like, I mean, fear of rejection, fear of judgment, imposter syndrome, fear of my mother jumping out the closet, yelling at me, and inner critic. I can make you a list that goes on forever. But those were the fears that were driving the excuses. And those excuses seemed extremely valid at the time, like my lack of time, my lack of money, my lack of resources, my health kicked up, and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden, I have time and I can do it and so on. So that's by asking myself why I began to notice a difference, and I started unpacking what was happening behind the scenes of my awareness. So that's what I'm inviting you to do, is to start asking yourself, okay, why is this happening? I've canceled again, or I've pulled back again, or I'm not pursuing what I think is, I'm not rich enough for support, I'm not pursuing what I think would be good for me. Why is this happening? With an open heart, no judgment. Another mechanism that can be behind the subconscious avoidance pattern is having had previous bad experiences other than with your mother. So, of course, you've had bad experiences growing up with your mother, but then those were reinforced by, for example, having asked for support before to a therapist or a coach, or having found yourself very hurt and having found yourself, very hurt by the experience, okay? Or maybe having joined the group only to find that it was very unsafe. So this can also lead you to the subconscious excuse that there's no one qualified enough or good enough to support you. And it may feel very valid, as your experience can testify to that. I mean, you've had bad experiences. Every therapist you've met, every coach you've met, every person, mentor, guide that you've met hurt you in some way, shape or form. I know for myself, I've had a few very bad experiences. There was one therapist in particular that told me clearly that I was unfixable and destined to ruin everything in my life. So that went well. As you can imagine, it took me a while after that experience to open up again. I knew I needed to, but I always had very good, valid excuses not to. And I actually made lack of money my number one go-to excuse. so much so that I kept myself in a position in life where I never had enough money to do anything for myself. And so, of course, I felt it was totally valid and true. And yet, years later, when something shifted, and I truly decided I wanted help, I still had no money, but I stopped at nothing and I made it happen. So again, I'm not sharing this with you because I'm such an accomplished, great person. Far from it. There are plenty of places in my life where these subconscious patterns are still at play, and I have to do a great deal of work to catch them. And sometimes I don't catch them, so, and I'm still unaware of them. So I'm sharing this with you to underline the possibility that even when reality seems to be against you in doing something good for yourself, you can still do it. Once you unpack this mechanism, once you bring the awareness to it. Another mechanism can be the feeling that you need to be already sorted and great before you ask for help. Otherwise, you get judged and shamed. And I mentioned that before. This definitely was my experience in so many ways, so I really get it. So maybe your mother used to test you, ask you questions to see how prepared you were. That could have been regarding school, maybe, or whatever things your mother valued and wanted you to excel at. Maybe she shamed you anytime you were undecisive and not fully convinced of something. And maybe she attacked you when you showed opinions to. Leaving you very confused as to what was the right thing to do, not to get that kind of response. So I get it. With my mother, I could never get it right. It was a constant test, and it came in disguise, meaning she would pretend to truly want to know, to be concerned for me, and then when I open up, she would go on the attack or let me know how little prepared I was on whatever topic. So before reaching out to someone for help, I would have to know all about the system they claim to use, all about the person. I would have to be able to show up on a call and show just how prepared I was, have all the right answers, how much I had already achieved, and so on. And then I would get upset because they didn't seem to help me at all. I still remember one day, a really dear mentor of mine, someone I've, she's taught me a great deal. Years and years ago, she made me notice that I gave the impression to have it all sorted and under control. So I didn't seem to really need help. That's why she wasn't asking me if I needed help. And we were in a group setup at the time. And she was like obviously giving help to the other women that were asking for it. And I felt I needed it. But clearly, the vibes I was putting out was that I didn't need it. And I didn't know why that was happening. That was total subconscious stuff. It was all happening behind my awareness. So that was a hard pill to swallow. Because on the inside, I was hurting so much and I so badly needed the help and I so wanted to be seen and supported. But I didn't know how to ask. And it also made me realize that when I didn't feel prepared, excuses would come up not to go through with it. So again, that one person really supported me in bringing to my awareness a pattern that was going on behind the scenes. Another mechanism that can be behind this is the wound of not deserving. I speak to it in details in episode 26, the number one wound from maternal narcissism and how it impacts your life. So you can go and listen to that episode if you want to know more about this particular wound. This can come from your mother telling you so often how bad you were as a child and as a person in general, and from the fact that if as a child you were not good enough to deserve your mother's love, it must be true that you're not enough to deserve anything else good. So when something good comes up, as in like something that you know would be good for you, that is just for you, that is not like, I don't know, that you can't find a valid excuse to justify it to the world, but it's just for you, that wound of not deserving kicks up. So it's something that again might be worth exploring, and again you can go listen to episode 26 if you want to hear more about it, because otherwise this episode gets way too long. So, and the last mechanism I want to mention today is the avoidance of discomfort. Again, you might have reached out or even gotten the first call, or maybe even a few calls, and then you realize it is challenging and a discomfort emerges. Okay? This may come to have like from having to stretch yourself beyond your comfort zone. This place of stretch out of your comfort zone is where the real shifts come, okay, in the healing journey. But the discomfort is a part of it. So there's really no way around it. It would be like to tell you that you can avoid that discomfort and still go through with things. It would be like telling the caterpillar that she can become a butterfly without going through the pain of the breaking one body apart to birth a new one. That would be a lie. You cannot do that. That doesn't happen. There is, when you embark on a healing journey, and there are these uncomfortable parts. There are really challenging parts. Some call them the dark nights of the soul. Some call them transition periods. Some like you're unpacking one, you're crumbling one set of protective strategies and opening new pathways. And so there's like this void in the middle. And it's uncomfortable, okay? It is uncomfortable. But again, to the inner child, this discomfort feels too much like a reminder of all the pain and suffering she's so hard trying to avoid experiencing again. Okay? It seems like a reminder of the pain and hurt that you felt with your mother growing up. So excuses come up, and ones that seem valid too. And I get it. But again, that discomfort is not avoidable. So the more you subconsciously want to avoid something, the more valid, sorry, the excuses will be, okay? To the point that are inarguable with. That's where we go back to, like, that list of excuses I made before. If you have a diagnosis, if you have something that is like, oh, someone told me I have depression, or someone told me I have this and that, and that's inarguable. Who can argue with you? Who could come to me when I was there with depression and go, well, you should do different? I mean, all of a sudden, that person that's arguing becomes a very bad person because this is inarguable, okay? And I get that. Again, I've been there. And but that's what I'm inviting you to notice, that the more your subconscious wants to avoid something, the more valid the excuse will seem. Because the subconscious does not want to be argued with. So it will bring up an excuse that is like inarguable to protect you. All in order to protect you. It's a super amazing mechanism, and it's all in order to protect you. And it did work for so many years as you grow up. It just is not helpful anymore, okay? I used to get so angry with when people close to me who truly loved me tried to let me notice this pattern, like that famous mentor I mentioned earlier. It didn't go down well, like there and then. I remember going home after that session going like, what a lot of bananas. And I wasn't that polite. Like it took me a while to just, feel into it and start, I think she had a point. But there was a lot of resistance that came up. Like my subconscious was like, what? No way we're gonna let her see through us and really see what's going on behind the scenes. This is way too risky, way too vulnerable. We're so gonna get hurt. Okay? So again, there are always the situations where when it is true that someone from the outside might not fully get what is going on with you, of course, but there are also situations where when there's a true wanting to support you, and a close friend or a loved one or a mentor might actually see from the outside a pattern that is live in your subconscious. And because of that, it is invisible to you. I couldn't see that. The subconscious is such because it's not visible. It's underneath subconscious. It's underneath your conscious awareness. It's underneath the levels of actually seeing what's going on. So unless it's explored and brought up to the surface, it remains hidden. And it drives your life from this hidden space, and you don't know about it. You think you're in the driver's seat, but it's your subconscious that is driving the car. Okay? So if any of this resonates with you, if you're beginning to notice that this is a pattern for you, then the next question is, okay, how can I break this pattern? And so I'm gonna talk about that now, just give you a couple of steps to support you with that. So number one is awareness, okay? And you know this by now. I do bring that up. It's the number one step in so many of the processes that I'm sharing with you, because it is. Beginning to notice is key. And by listening to this episode with an open mind, you are doing just that. You are beginning to look and notice and become aware. Even just the fact, even if you're not aware of where that exactly happens in your life right now, but you're listening to this and there's some kind of resonance, you know that that's a possibility. You're now aware. You now know that this is a pattern that can happen. And that's enough to start exploring it. Number two, if this episode has triggered you a lot, okay, if you're actually sending my way a lot of bad vibes right now, that's okay. And maybe you feel super defensive and resistant to this, but yet you're still here listening, okay? You haven't pressed stop. You're still here, okay? I want to acknowledge you for your courage. And also remind you that triggers are an important bit of information to let you know that there's something there to explore for you, okay? We should actually just be very happy when we feel a trigger. Why? Because it's information. It's like, oh, this triggers me. What's in there for me? Why is this triggering me? What's in underneath it? And how is this information that is triggering me now able to support me, okay? Asking yourself, why this triggered you so much in a loving, curious, open way can truly support you in understanding what's behind it for you and to break the pattern, okay? Number three, learn tools to self-regulate and to navigate emotions that arise so that you can start being able to go for it even when there's discomfort, okay? Meaning, even if you feel in a panic before a call, okay, for example, that you know it's going to be good for you, breathe through it and get on the call anyways. You know, when you can self-regulate, you start realizing that you can actually navigate these waves of emotions that for the best part of our life, they're actually trapped, okay? So when all of this is happening in our subconscious, we mightn't even realize that we're going through this incredible anxiety or panic and stuff like that. When you start feeling this, you're already like further, not because you're better. There isn't better or worse. There's just where you are along the path, and there's no comparison with others. Now the next step, when you start feeling these emotions, the next step is to start learning how to navigate them, how to get your nervous system to go back to like a more regulated state. So that allows you to move forward in what you wanted to do despite the wave of emotion, okay? You can still feel it, but it doesn't have to control you anymore. You don't get swallowed up by it anymore. You feel it. You acknowledge it. Take your time to feel it, but then you do what you were going to do anyways, okay? Number four, choose who you are reaching out for support wisely, okay? But again, keep in mind that one mechanism is seeing everyone as not good enough or not safe enough. I've had to battle with this quite a bit. A lot of no one can help me sort of stuff. There's a little line between being wise and selective and feeling that no one can help you because no one is good enough. Okay, so notice how it feels within you so you can start feeling the difference. But choosing wisely is important because, again, that's, you know, it's important that you're feeling safe. Number five, learning to know the signs in your body on a deep level. Okay, the more you get to know yourself, the more you get to know that when it is a protective pattern kicking in, feels different from when it is a real heart-centered truth that is coming up for you. Okay, there are techniques to go deeper with this and start coming more from the real truth within you and not from patterns anymore. So, for example, the point that we made earlier, choose who you're reaching out wisely or just going being on a pattern of no one is right for you. When you're tapped into your body and you can start learning the signs, recognizing the signs in your body, you will know body-wise when you're in front of someone that you can fully trust. And when you are in front of someone that is not actually the right match for you. But at the beginning, when you're not yet tapped into that, you're not yet connected to that. And remember that trauma is the disconnection from that inner knowing, okay? When we're traumatized, that pathway towards our inner knowing is kind of cut off. It's constricted. It's not fully open, okay? So at the beginning, when that pathway is not open yet, it's protective pathways, protective strategies that we find. So it's not actually a real embodied wisdom. It's like all the protective strategies that come up that tell us that that person is not good enough. And that's the subconscious being in the driving seat. So again, when you learn, and it takes a little time and practice, but when you learn to know your body, then you learn, you start reopening that pathway of connection with your inner knowing, with your gut feeling, for real, the real one, okay? The one underneath all the layers, not the surface one that is protective strategies and trauma responses, but the one underneath the surface that is the real you, and you really start being able to tell the difference. So that's, I wanted to share this episode again. It's been such a big thing in my life personally, the avoiding of all the situations where I felt I was at risk to be in the same suffering that I was with my mother. I've done that when we were talking about reaching out for help, like this episode is about. I've done that within relationships, I've done that within friendships. I've done that within my work experience. I have even done that within the solitude of my own room in things that, like, you know, expressing my anger, expressing feelings, crying by myself, like all of that. And it still felt like scary and frightening. And the subconscious would try to pull me out of so many experiences that I knew were really good for me. And that is the reason why I wanted to share this episode with you. And I also have seen that happening to so many, to so many in my career, like working with women for over 15 years. I've seen that happening so much. So again, you're not alone in this. This happens to so many. And when you start noticing that that's a pattern in your life, you are like, that's a wonderful step. Again, it's that first step is awareness, and you're bringing awareness to it, you're gonna start seeing the shift. So the invitation is, when you want to go to something, when you're reaching out, when you're asking for support, and again, it doesn't have to be with me. If it is with me, you know there are the women's circles going, and there's one-on-one in a transformation program is open. There are still two spaces left for that, for this wave of intakes. So you can contact me and email me. And you can also email me with your questions and sharing your experience on this. But no matter who you're reaching out, if it's someone else, that's fine. I am just happy to know that you are receiving the support that your heart needs and that feels right by you. But if you're starting noticing that pattern of excuses coming up, stay with it, feel into it, ask yourself why this is happening, and then go for it anyways. Make that call anyways, send that email anyways, reach out anyways. believe me, you're gonna benefit from it so much, and you're gonna be so happy with yourself afterwards. You've just went through that discomfort, you pushed through that obstacle, and you came out the far side feeling so much better about yourself as a result of it. Remember that confidence is built as a result of successes, okay? But we need courage to start getting those successes to build the confidence, okay? And courage is when you do something despite the fear that you're feeling. So, and courage you have. Courage you have because you're here. I mean, it takes courage to be listening to this. I know it does. There's triggering things that can come up, emotions can be stirred when you're listening to this podcast. I get that. So you are a very powerful, courageous woman. And I know you can do the next, you can take the next step. I truly, I'm truly behind you. So with that, I'm gonna send you lots of love. Bye for now.